This morning, we are privileged to have Pastor Ed Weibel here, who was here some years ago. I'm going to let him fill you in on the details of that with his wonderful wife, Beverly. And they served here. What were the years? Okay, to 1995. Okay, so about 6 years, right?
Yeah, just about.
Okay, and God used them in some wonderful ways. He's been just a wonderful example and encouragement to me. Every once in a while, I run into him, and he'll share these stories of what God has done in the past. And I say, well, keep sharing, because it encourages me to look to the Lord and to keep moving toward the future. And he and Bev continue to serve. They're over at Chelmsford, and did I say that right?
Yep.
And they've been there. He was a pastor there after here, and then they've continued on. Then he was an assistant pastor, and more recently, a volunteer. And he told me over the phone that they just want to keep serving. He said, that's what it's about. And he's such a great example to me. You know, we're not done when our official position is done, whether it be volunteer or paid in a church. We keep serving the Lord until we see the Lord face to face. And God is using them in some great ways over there. They're a great encouragement, I know, to Pastor Jerry McCombs, who also used to serve here, and many, many others over there. And even today, throughout our community. So, welcome. Tell us a story or two of something that God has done in the past. Okay, and then he and I are going to serve communion together, and then he's going to pray for us as a church, and then we will look at the story together. So, welcome back.
Street, and a year later we bought 260 East Market Street. So I had fun with the district office. I called them and told them, I said, I want you to listen very carefully, I've moved. And I said, all the numbers and everything are right, except just erase the W and put the E in there. Reverend Leon Young was the district superintendent then. 20 minutes later I got a call and they said, Weibel, you're pulling our leg, aren't you? And I said, no, that's exactly what happened. And we've been living there almost 30 years. Is it? Yeah, okay. I want to tell you, I am greatly relieved that I didn't have to stand here. The building committee said they were going to put a trap door, and if I went past 12 o'clock, I was going down into the baptistry. So, okay. We had a lot of people help us when we got started here. Phyllis and Sue and Greg Horner and Paul McCleary and Bev at that time, and they helped to make us welcome and help us to meet a lot of people at the church. Here, one of the things that was a big help to me when we were getting started, there used to be down where Jim and what's the name of that pizza place? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, the fellow was a Catholic man, and Tim, or what was his name, Adenolfi. Yeah. And he would wait till I go in there, and he had a pretty good crowd, and he said, well, Reverend, what's the good word today? I've tried to sneak in, you know, and just eat my breakfast and on my way, but that's the way he operated. And there's four things that stick out in my mind. One, we had at the beginning a good new building here in this building here and out there, and we did door-to-door, knocking all the way from one end of the town to the other, inviting people to church. We had an Awana ministry here that really had a lot of people get connected with their kids here. And there were people stop me in the town and sometimes say, thank you, Pastor Ed, and your church, because our kids are hearing the gospel. And I didn't know who I was talking to, but I'm glad to hear that. We also did something called the Alliance Messenger. It was a paper like, if some of you might remember this, Have a Good Day track. And that's still a pretty good track. And we put them in the bulletin every Sunday and took them and gave them to people. Then I had somebody knock on the door, and they were from release time. And they said, Mr. Weibel, would you work with us to get a ministry established here? So I took it to the ministerium. They didn't want anything to do with it. And so I said, do you mind if we try? And they sat there, and I took their silence as, hey, go ahead. And that's been a good ministry. You know, the courts had just ruled that there could be release time from public school. And that's been a great ministry that's been going on all over the place, and I thank the Lord for that. Prayer was a big thing in our ministry, and I thank the Lord for the prayer support that we had here. You know, someone has said, you can pray and doubt and do without, or you can pray and believe and receive. And I appreciate the prayer ministry. And one of the things that got me to this point was the pastor's wife was making a study, and they were going to interview me about the ministry here. So I got to be careful what I say, because I was on tape or or whatever. And about what has led me to not only this ministry but other churches that we've served is there's always been a desire for me and for Bev to have an outreach ministry. We don't want to stay within the walls of a physical building. And we had several Bible studies in people's homes along with that, and that's a good way to connect with people. But when I was ordained in Lancaster in 1968, they have an ordination committee, and there was a guy named Tom Wilcox, and he and prayed over me, and he said, Lord, bless Ed and help him to have an outreach that will reach a lot of people with the gospel of Christ. And I had forgotten about that until Maureen was probing me. By the way, it was a good experience for me. I had to think and pick what we were going to do. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he's still in the building business. And I want to encourage you here this morning. When we had an Awana group down in Alabama, we had people in their 70s and 80s helping us, help kids remember the Word of God. They came to me and they said, Brother Ed, you got a good ministry here started. Is there a place for old people like us? Some of these older people have been a long time since they've been in school, but they began to help kids remember God's Word. And some of them, they actually helped to teach them to read. So I don't think Awana is the only way. We might have to pray for another way to reach people with the gospel of Christ. But the Lord's very capable of leading in that direction. I just, let's see. The piano, and Bev was glad to come here this morning. She helped pick the piano out. So she felt like she was coming back home almost when that happened. And I got to say something here. I have become a diabetic, and it was out of control around the year 95 to 2000. I didn't know what was going and slowing me down. Then there was another guy here named Greg Horner, and Greg had had a brain operation, and it was a serious operation, and he saw me walking the alleyways, and he said to me, "Do you mind if I walk with you?" I said, "I don't own the alley." I said, "Come on." And we started walking together, and I learned something. I never heard the term junker before. And I found out that if I was going to walk with Gregor, there wasn't an aluminum can anywhere that we wouldn't stop. In fact, you wouldn't believe it. It almost took us two and a half hours just to make a little trip from hell. And I'm picking on old Gregor, but he's been a good friend and all. And I appreciate him a lot. And I one thing in closing, the people that were supposed to mow the grass when Bev and I was getting ready to move in, and the grass was really high, and their dad, Jack Horner, said, "You want to get that yard cut, Pastor Red?" I said, "Nope." I said, "I don't want anybody to do it. I'm supposed to do it." He says, "If you want that grass moved, we'll move it." So I said, "Thank you." And I came back. When I come back to the look out the backyard, it was really good. Those are some good memories and that I've had here. There's a number of people in this town, Paul and Sue and their mom and dad and that. They helped me get acquainted with a lot of people in the town. And that was a good help for us as well. Okay, I'm not supposed to take a whole lot of time here, but I thank the Lord for this church and for its ministry. I learned a lot here. I'm still learning. My next birthday, I'll be 78. And, the Lord told us, the people there in the book of Revelation, and be faithful unto death or the Lord's return. So it doesn't matter how old we are, we got to find a way to serve the Lord. And I think I'll finish with that. And I don't know. I have watches that don't work, and I have clocks that don't work. So I'm just going to quit, okay?
Well, come on back if you would, Pastor Ed. What? Yeah, we're going to serve communion now.
I lost my program already.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we celebrate our unity. You know, often we think of our unity across the world, around the world, and across the community. And we are certainly unified with our brother and sister in town and beyond town, but also across the ages. And we remember that this morning and how God has used them and used us to serve him together. And so we thank our Lord for this time of remembering the good news of what Christ has done for us and how he's united us in Christ. And Pastor Ed, if you would read, please, from 1 Corinthians 11.
Okay. I have a Bible.
Okay. You have a Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bible has to have a Bible.
Yeah, I got it. Bible's got to have a Bible. Yeah. Okay.
If you got it.
Or if you want to use mine, that's what, okay. You're welcome.
So, verse 23.
You have 23 down to 26, okay. Please.
All right. For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I want to say just a word here. I thank the Lord for communion services, because just as his body is broken, one of the things we need to have in our Christian experience is to be broken before the Lord.
We can be hard and harsh in our spirit some days, whether we're at work or with neighbors or in our family relationships. But I believe that there is a principle here coming to us that the Lord wants us to remind us that he was broken for us. And he had, and the bread, when he broke it, he blessed it. And that's the way this church will be blessed too. When we break bread, when we break our hearts before the Lord and thank him. One of the things I think that is difficult for me to remember is Jesus Christ was broken. He was pierced through. And he was really, really humiliated. And he hung naked on the cross. I learned one gospel song down south that I learned to like. When Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind, and you were on his mind. I think we need to do that as we come to the Lord's table this morning.
Well, let's pray.
Okay.
Just now, Lord, we thank you that you died for us. We thank you, Lord, for this bread that we share. We thank you for the example that we follow of giving ourselves to you and giving ourselves to one another, Lord, as you gave yourselves for us. Now, Lord, would you please guide us as we share in your table, Lord, as we celebrate our unity across generations, across church lines, and even around the world. Lord, would you make us one? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this table is set for those who love him. If you know him, then I invite you to partake this morning. And would you present the bread, please?
Okay.
We're going to do it all at once. We're going to pass the plates at one time. And so if you're serving, please come to the front. It's a little bit of each in both.
Okay.
And so... of it together.
Let's take the bread, please, reminding of the Lord, or reminding us of the Lord's brokenness for us, and we can also take the cup at the same time. Let's partake, please. Thank you for this emblem and reminder of how much you love us. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin, and we thank you for Calvary.
We believe, Lord, and I really do believe that you died for all of us. It was a fantastic death that you died on the cross, a broken body, a broken spirit. Shed blood flowing. Thank you for the privilege of remembering you. And one of the blessings of heaven someday is to look at those nail-scarred hands, that spear-driven side, riven side, and those nail-pierced feet. And it was for me. And it was for all of us. We praise your name and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, and you may be seated, men, and we'll pass in the cups at the end at the door. Okay. What's that? Ask Pastor Ed if you would pray one more time.
Okay.
Okay, but first, I want to see a little bit more. You pointed out the people that were here. I'm sorry, you don't, I don't need this. You do. Okay. Point out the people that were here.
Okay.
Way back. Okay, and have them stand or something so we can see them a little bit more.
Stand. Betty doesn't have to stand. Okay. All right. And I think Alan and his wife were
and Cindy,
here at
yeah.
Point.
Okay.
Coming in. And let's see. This is a lady in the back there. You're great.
Mrs. Crayley. Mrs. Crayley.
I'm trying to remember.
Okay, Crayley. Back here. Raise your hand. You weren't here, but you've been here quite a while, right?
She was here the neighborhood. While we were here. I don't know when she came in. Yeah.
Okay.
You were here with your husband. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, that's close enough to me.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay, over here.
Oh yeah, Elaine. Okay. And I'll tell you what, I could look somebody in the eye, brother, and their name wouldn't come out because I have a photographic mind. That the film doesn't work someday.
Okay. Okay. Let's try this. Okay. Everybody, stand up if you would, if you're able. Okay. Now, if you've been here 5 years or less, why don't you be seated? All right. It doesn't have to be to the day. Okay, around 5 years. If you've been here 10 years or less, would you be seated, please? If you've been here 15 years or less, would you be seated, please? If you've been here 20 years or less, 25, I know that some of you were like you know, infants, okay, in the nursery. 25 years or less. 30 years or less. 35 years.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. Thank the Lord, huh? Okay.
I want to say that there's a guy back there named Mike. He used to belong to the Castles Church when I was there.
Yes.
And when we were there, we celebrated the 100th year celebration of that church. It had been a couple of other church buildings from 1870 to 1970. And then they built a new building and thing, but they invited me back to the 125th service. I have no doubts that'll make the 150, but anyway,
I know Mike loves the Lord, and we're really happy for him.
Yeah.
His mother and I, she was a very good board secretary, but yet she was one of those ladies that I just love the kid, and she'd give it right back. So anyway, yep. And I appreciate the Valley View Ministry. When we landed here, it was just nothing but a pile of dirt out here, and I had just finished a family life center down in Alabama. It had it was 50 feet wide, 150 foot addition, and we even had a guy ride a Tennessee walking horse over these grounds. His name is John Fisher for some people that might remember him. He was an interesting brother, and really enjoyed him. I'm going to quit.
Okay. Can I get you to do one more thing? Okay. Sue's going to lead us in a song of thanks in a minute.
Okay.
But first, would you give thanks, A, and B, pray for us.
Okay.
And pray for God's blessing on the church, us as a church today.
Thank you, Lord, that you're the head of the church. And we need to never forget that.
Yes.
Whatever our title or position or member or regular attender and supporting the ministries here, we thank you that you are our Lord and Savior and boss and our healer. And we thank you that we can start out every day a clean slate with you because of your shed blood. Lord, I pray for Valley View Alliance Church this morning. You brought it into being. You have sustained it to this point. We're glad that you're the God who does fresh things and new things in our lives.
Yes.
And I pray that this building, this grounds, the people that make this their regular church home, help us to connect with the people that are our neighbors. And throughout this town, may there be a sense and a feeling and an experience that God's doing fresh and new things for the Valley View Alliance Church. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who helps us to walk with you and helps us to be a blessing to others when we talk about you. Thank you, Lord, for our time together here today. And I pray, Lord, and I've been here for a little bit, almost 5.5 years, but once you pastor church and with loving people, you never lose interest, and you don't stop praying for that church when you leave as a pastor. So bless Pastor Lee and his wife, Maureen, to help them to be an encouragement to each other. Amen. And may they lead this ministry with Jesus Christ, blessing their lives and their hearts and their ministries here. Bless their hopes and their dreams. Amen. And Lord, pray that the church will have the wisdom of the Lord to keep going for the Lord. Open up the fresh opportunities. Lord, bring new blessings in, bring new people in. And may they feel at home and sense the presence of Christ when we meet here as the body of Christ. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Would you please stand? Son, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks
to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Might have thought you were done. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Good thing I didn't have a suitcase here this morning.
There we go. And so appreciate Pastor Weibel sharing with us this morning. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 12, or in the story, page 13, chapter 2. And we're going to look briefly at this section of Scripture, the kind of the middle section of Genesis. This morning, but we'll do it quickly, I assure you. So, Lord, we do give thanks to you, and Lord, we long to hear from you some more this morning, Lord. Thank you for ways you've spoken already. Would you guide us now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you know what this is? Anybody younger than 15 know what this is? Seen what a cassette tape. Some of us remember cassette tapes. It took me a little while to find one. But my question is the kingdom of God going the way of the cassette tape? In our nation today, we got a president of the hospital. We got conflict that just seems to be escalating every day. The church has shut down in many ways for months. Some that are still not meeting. Ours is, you know, we got about half of our folks back, but we want things to go back to the way that they were, but is the church going the way of the kingdom? I mean, going the way of the cassette tape? What do you think? What do you think? Or are there some promises in this book, in the one true story of the world that we can rely on, that go way back to the beginning of time, and that have a special focus in Genesis chapter 12 and following? I'd like us to read from verses 1 to 3 of chapter 12. Let's read it together. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I'd like you to notice, first of all, that God blesses us to bless others. And so Abraham came from a place far, far away. He came from a place that we call Iraq today, Ur of the Chaldees. It was a developed civilization. He was not from a Bible background. There was no Bible at that point. And he was called to leave all that he knew and to travel 600 miles up to the top of what we call the Fertile Crescent, to move up there and to follow the Lord to a place that he didn't know. Later on, he'd go down to the area where Jerusalem is today. But for now, he was moving up to the top of that, and he ran into trouble right away. As his nephew disputed things with him. And that's the way that life is, but God has called us not to please others, but to bless others, to attract the world to him. And that's the way that it is for Valley View Alliance Church. Some wonderful, wonderful things have happened here. Pastor Weibel shared just a few of them, and some of you have some stories that go way back, some of them just a short ways back. But the Lord has called us here, not for ourselves, but for others. The Lord called Abram to launch his plan to reach the entire world for himself. But what it was about was sharing the Lord with all of the nations. And that's why the Lord has called us here, to share him with our community and with our region and with our world. We are here not for ourselves, but we are here to bless others. But the problem is that when we grab control, that we often mess things up. And that's what happened with his nephew Lot. They started disputing over land. And then Abram's wife Sarai, she was getting on in years. She was 75 and then 85, and she's moving up the ladder and saying, "Abram, God said we were going to have a child, but I don't think it's going to happen. He must have meant something else. So let's do something about it." And just as Eve had tried to do something about it, about God's plan, and others, not just women, but also men, throughout the years tried to do something about God's plan, she did something that was legal in the day, and having a surrogate wife for Abraham, for Abram, a surrogate mother for a child conceived, and that led to all kinds of family feuds between disagreements between the children, disagreements between the women. It was a huge old mess. And that's what happens when we grab control. Now, I don't know the whole history of Valley View Alliance Church. I've been in other places, but I know the history of the church. And there's all kinds of things that happen when we try and grab control, aren't there? Pastor Weibel, I'm sure, could keep us going for days telling us stories of when others grab control, or could you believe even that a pastor might try and grab control? I know that would never happen, but I can testify. And we get into trouble when we try and grab control. Again, that's what happened at the beginning of time. Remember Abel, or Cain and Abel. And one boy decided he was going to control things. And we know how that one ended up. You see, the Lord was creating a people, a new people that would reflect his likeness. And God cares more about who we are than what we do. He cares more about how we get along than what we are accomplishing. Sometimes I wonder if that's why sometimes the Lord holds us back. No, get along, get along, get along, get along. Kind of like a mama with her chicks. Dallas Willard, a great Christian thinker and spiritual leader, he said that humility means we don't push. We don't push. When we push, we are pushing the plan of God. Now, there's a difference between, there's a tender balance between stepping ahead in faith and then grabbing control of the wheel ourselves and saying, we will go this way. When God is saying, wait, I'm the driver. Get in the back seat and let me drive. The wonderful thing is that God blesses anyway. You see, this is God's plan, not ours. It's God's mission to draw the nations to himself, not ours. And so the Lord had a covenant with Abram. And he did what they do in those days. When they had an agreement, they were serious about it. He said, okay, slice up some animals. That's what they did for contracts, what we would call a covenant. He said, slice them up. And then we would say, this is going to be true whether or over my dead body. Or it'll come fall. It won't be true over my dead body, we would say. It'll fall apart. And so usually what would happen is the two makers of the contract or the covenant would walk in between the slices of the dead animals as if to say, if this doesn't come true, if this doesn't happen, then you can slice me in half. Well, notice that Abram didn't walk through the dead animals, but the Lord went through the animals as if to say, this will come true, and this is on the basis of who I am. I am the eternal one. I have always been, I will always be, and it will come true no matter what. And then the Lord said, Abram, I'm going to give you this child that we've talked about. And they gave him a little boy by the name of Isaac, whose name means laughter. But then he called him to take this little boy as a senior citizen who he and his wife were laughing about. Look who we got. And took him up on Mount Moriah. He's now moved down. That's where Jerusalem is today. That's actually on the Temple Mount right now where Isaac was sacrificed or almost sacrificed. Because as Abraham held up his knife to slay and to sacrifice his only son, the Lord provided a ram and his boy went free. A beautiful picture of a son who was to be sacrificed for us that we might go free as Jesus was gave his life for us. It was then that Abraham was told that he would have a family that would be innumerable like the stars in the sky and like the sand in the sea. And that was to include his spiritual family, which would include people in Helen, Pennsylvania in 2020, and people on the seven continents of the world, and people throughout the ages of history that would multiply and multiply and multiply. Why? Because God made this promise, which could not fail, back when he called Abraham all the way from modern-day Iraq to Ur of the Chaldees. I can't guarantee how long the United States will be here. I hope that we're here for a very long time. But the Lord has guaranteed that we who have become his holy nation will last forever and ever. Because he made a promise which cannot fail. And our calling is to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So how do we do that? There's a thinker, a Christian leader in recent weeks who said there's four attitudes that we need to have moving ahead from where we are. Number one, we need to remember that God isn't done with us yet. His promises continue on until we see Jesus face to face, and for all of eternity, our God will be praised. We need to stop waiting for things to get back to normal. If we're just sitting back and waiting, then we're going to miss the train. Thirdly, he said that we ought to be more outwardly focused than ever before. Pastor Weibel and his mother prayed that he would be outwardly focused, that he would be an evangelist. He said, we need to all be evangelists. We need to ask the Lord how he wants us to reach this community. We've got a beautiful children's wing going up. We need to finish that. But we also need to bring kids in to fill it. So let's look around for children that we know that we can invite. Let's pray for them. Where it's appropriate, let's invite them. Same thing with our youth. Same thing with the adults in our neighborhood. As we look around, as we reach out and take risks for Jesus, Jesus will draw others to himself. And then finally, to accept the fact that major change is inevitable. Things are changing a lot right now in our world and in the church. But instead of throwing up our hands because we're not in control, let's throw them up and say, Jesus, you're in control. And so we are going to embrace what you have called us to right now and follow you to fulfill your mission, not ours, but your mission, which can never, ever fail. So let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our understandings, but follow him, and he will direct our paths. He has made us a holy nation. We are a people of God, both now and forever. He's made us his people. He's made us his nation. He's grafted us in spiritually to this call of Abraham. that we might join his people in proclaiming his praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we come to you this morning. We stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. Forgive us, Lord, for just saying, "Oh, I'm done. I'm tired." Lord, we cannot reach this community or this world on our own. No wonder we're tired. But Lord, as we give ourselves over to you completely, Lord, you can fill us with yourself, and we invite you to fill us with yourself, Lord, that we might follow you alone and together to the praise of your great and glorious name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Sue to come and to lead us in a closing song, but in the meantime, I want to encourage you to this, ask you to do this. We said at the beginning of the service that God was here. What is God tapping you on the shoulder to do? You know what he's tapping you to do. Maybe it's to give everything over to him. Maybe it's got something to do with the children's wing. Maybe it has something to do with serving. Maybe it has something to do with reaching out to a neighbor or a person in need. I urge you to say, "Yes, Jesus.